The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Happy Saturday. It is the 25th of June. We're 1 weekend away from the 4th of July weekend, and I cannot believe how fast time is going by. I just better get outside today, enjoy the sun. I don't know. I think the weather's supposed to be nice all weekend, but you never know. This is the Northeast. Right now, I'd like to welcome our guest. We'll have a lot to talk about this morning, Ben LaPointe from the Children's Museum of Saratoga. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but it's good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Rick.
We're getting to be a 3-4 time a year a show, and we enjoy it.
Yeah.
I hope you continue it once you're open again.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Come
I
on,
appreciate being on. Absolutely.
Let us know. All right. Ben, first, I'd like to have you just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to get right into all the exciting news.
Absolutely. So, I was born and raised in this area. I've meandered out of it, and I've ended up back here. So I went to college for definitely something very different than education, but that's where I ended up, is in the field of education. You know, I thought about becoming a teacher, but I really liked informal education, and that's what ultimately brought me to the Children's Museum. And although I'm not currently working as an educator, I just there's just something about that. I just want to be part of that world. So I just want to support it in a different way rather than, you know, being the person on the ground. I've always wanted to kind of support those people on the ground and just make it easier for them to do what they're doing, give them the resources that they need, the support that they need. And you know, I think I've gotten to a point where I'm in a position for that. And, you know, being at the museum, I have a lot of opportunities to kind of, you know, give back to the world. And it's great. And with the museum opening up and us kind of getting back to some sort of normal, you know, we're really excited for that. And, you know, all of us kind of have that same mindset. Like we're there for the kids. We're there for the community, because it's not just the kids. It's also their families as well. And, you know, we just really care about our community. And through the museum, we can kind of make an impact. We kind of make an impact there.
Excellent. It's a fantastic place. As we said before, there's, since the museum's been open, it's made a huge impact in the community, especially with kids. And there's so much more than just bringing the kids to the museum.
Right.
And there's a lot of different aspects. So first off, I think what we should do is talk a little bit about the exciting news. And we talked a little bit before the show about how it's been in kind of a flux since COVID.
Right.
But now we're getting back to somewhat normal, and we've got some new news coming up.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, as pretty much everybody did, you know, we all shut down with COVID, and then as things kind of eased up, we were able to open back up. But, you know, during that time, we had the plans. We had started kind of the talks and the planning of moving to the Lincoln Baths. And then at the end of the year, we closed our doors on Caroline Street and got all of our stuff moved. And we have been working out of the Lincoln Baths building. Our offices have been out of there, but we are very deep into the renovation processes. We've started putting the exhibits into the upstairs, the installations. You can go to our Facebook page and find the pictures there. And, you know, at first it was kind of slow going because a lot of, like, you know, some days there'd be a lot of progress, you know, putting up the new walls, painting and that kind of stuff. You see that. But, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes things like electrical wires and plumbing and those kinds of utilities that you don't see. So there were spans of time where there wasn't a lot to show or, you know, nothing that the public would find interesting. But now I'll go up there in the morning, and by the afternoon, there's enough to show between the differences. There's just so much going on. And it's a week away.
I know.
A week and a couple of days. And it's kind of like, it just felt like it was so far off for so long. And now it's like right on the doorstep. And, you know, it's one of those things that I think a lot of people feel this way, is like, as you're approaching it, you're like, did I get everything right? Is everything going to go right? And you know that everything's going to work out, because everybody at the museum is very capable. We're all like amazing at our jobs, but like just getting to that, you know, the deep, the breath before the plunge.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's anytime you do a big move like this, and this really is a big move. I mean, the Lincoln Baths are where your new, the museum is big.
Yes.
And the one nice thing about it is there's a lot of parking.
There is a lot of parking. That makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, and it's in the state park.
Right. And so it's adjacent to that. So going to the museum is not the end of your day, per se, as far as that trip goes. You have the entirety of the Spa State Park to go explore right afterwards or before.
Sure. And you know what? My wife, when our daughters were small, used to go take the kids there for breakfast by the stream, you know, lunch, and we used to cook out there. So really a family could really make a nice day.
Absolutely.
Visiting the museum.
Yeah.
And then enjoying the park after especially in the summertime when the kids are out of school to take them out.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've for some reason never been to the Spa State Park, it is absolutely beautiful, and you should definitely take a trip out there and, you know, head over to the museum.
That's right.
After July 5th.
You know, whenever you make a move in any business or in a nonprofit or, you know, like the museum, there's always a ton of work to do. And I think, like you had alluded to here, you're always wondering if you got everything done.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's probably going to be things that still need to be done on the 5th of July, some of the little background things that, you know, it's always a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And the more dedicated you are, the more you feel that pressure. I mean, if you kind of approach it nonchalantly and you're not really worried about it, then those things don't bother you. But, you know, everybody, all the staff there, we very much care about how things are going to go, how the guests are going to receive it, what their experience is going to be like. And so, you know, we want to make sure that is the best experience that we can have for them and, you know, make it worth their time.
Sure. What I wanted to get out up front, because it's such a fantastic place, and I know there's a lot of people that go quite often. You have a fee schedule, and, you know, it's kids under 12 months are free.
Mm-hmm.
General admission for all ages is $10. What is a membership? What's a membership cost?
So we have different tiers of membership for different family needs. So we have the Me and You, and we've restructured everything. So Me and You is basically for an adult and a child. And that came as part of, you know, we saw a lot of grandparents or parents coming in with, you know, just one adult and one child. And so we wanted to kind of offer a membership that would accommodate that specifically. So that's $100.
Okay.
Then we have the Bring the Family. And I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head, but you can visit our website, www.cmssny.org.
And great website, visit the membership. By the way, too.
Yep. Fantastic. Visit the membership site and you can find out more. But the Bring the Family is for, you know, a larger group of people. Mm-hmm. It accommodates, I can't remember how many adults, but all the children in the family. So okay. One of the things was our original ones specified the number of people overall. But we moved to a model where we're more focusing on how many adults are coming in and then all your dependent children. So it doesn't matter if you have a family of two or a family of six. In this instance, you're good to go on that. And that's $150. And then we have our Traveler's Pass, which that gives you discounts at other museums. A lot of people think that it's kind of like signing up for a membership at those other museums and that you get in for free. So I just want to clarify that it's usually like a 50% discount on admission. So for instance, our admission is $10. If you came to us with another ACM member, then we would charge you $5 for that. That's $200. And then we also have a brand new one. And it's called the Open Arms. And this is for those who are kind of suffering economic hardships.
Okay.
You know, anybody who has a benefit card, Medicaid, EBT, there's one other I can't think of off the top of my head. But you can kind of come in, show us your benefit card, and then you can get this reduced cost membership at $25. So you can kind of come in using that. And that's, you know, again, to we want to increase access to the museum in any way that we can. So, you know, a lot of the exhibits that we have, they are they're wheelchair accessible.
Okay.
So we're considering, you know, physical disabilities, but also people who are suffering financial or economic hardships.
Sure.
You know, we want to give those children access as well. And, you know, on the other side of it, not just at the museum, but, you know, we're always looking for funding so that we can also go to these individuals, especially now having merged with CMOST and a lot of people who are in Troy, the Troy area, Albany area, that kind of thing. You know, they're missing their museum. And while some of them might be able to make the trip up to Saratoga, you know, a lot of them can't. And so we're looking for funding to A, help them get into the museum if possible. But if right. not, you know, we want to be able to go to them and meet them where they are and bring those programs to them, because we found that, you know, a lot of these kids belong to Title I schools and they benefit greatly from the extra academics that we provide for them. And that just kind of helps boost their self-esteem and their confidence. And, you know, we're hoping that that makes their future at least a little bit, if not a lot more, a lot brighter.
Well, I mean, it has to, because, you know, we'll get into programs and activities in a little while, but the exposure to what the museum offers is phenomenal. And I think it takes kids away from, I mean, you always hear the thing, people mm-hmm. my age. Well, when I was growing up, you know, we used to be outside on our bikes all
right.
the time, and we made games up and kept busy. But even your interactive equipment for kids to mm-hmm. use is educational.
Right.
And it's fun.
Yes.
So it's an experience that a kid is going to get, a child and maybe an adult that's accompanying them will learn.
Right.
As they're getting enjoyment out of what they're participating in. And you can't ask for anything better. Now, one thing I know, I was on the board of the senior center years ago when I was a young guy, unfortunately not when I was a senior, but what we ended up doing was getting a van to transport seniors around. Had if you could get a benefactor to purchase a van for the museum, would that be something that, I mean, I know you can't say this right now, you may have been
right.
thinking about it or not, but to get to Troy, to bring kids up, you know, through mm-hmm. maybe one of the, they have that, oh boy, I had Mike Finocchi on the show, it's a center down there,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to bring maybe so many kids a day up,
right.
Have you ever thought of that?
So, I mean, I believe we have looked into potential programs for something like that, especially now being in a state park that opens up certain avenues, because, you know, you might have grants available out there that are specifically like something that's happening inside of a state park or something of that nature. So I do believe we have looked into something like that. But at the same time, because, again, I like, as you mentioned, I don't necessarily know anything, but
sure.
like the logistics,
now, you know a lot, but maybe,
right.
you know.
The logistics of owning and operating that is, you know, something on top of all that.
Right.
But we do have the Troy Focus Lab that we are, I'm not sure the exact nature of the relationship, but I know that that is something that we're partnered with and that we're providing programming for, and helping with that. And so that is, in Troy.
Okay.
So, you know, until we can find a way to help, you know, physically get people from the Troy area and downstate up there, up to the museum who can't, that is another alternative where you can kind of engage museum programs. We also try and get out doing community events. We were at the Colony Center for every month for a little while. And, you know, we're always just trying to find ways to get out into the public and do. Yeah, exactly. Doing programming, you know, just to either just show, you know, what we have to offer up at the museum, you know, or to, you know, engage children and kind of, you know, get that spark. Because
yeah.
As you kind of alluded to, you know, just having that sometimes, you know, you hear the story all the time. Like, it was such and such a teacher or such and such a class that sparked that interest that drove me forward into the future. And like, you know, what if that hadn't happened? And that's where we find ourselves is in the position to be that entity that that provides that teacher or that program that that sparks that interest and leads you into that future.
Sure. One of the things, you know, I talked about, brought up membership first, because I think that it's such a jewel that we have here at the Children's Museum that I can see a person bringing, you know, a parent or a grandparent or, you know, a child care person bringing some kids into the museum, paying the admission fee and saying, my gosh, we got to get here more often. Mm-hmm. So there's a membership level for any situation.
Yes.
And I think you probably get people that'll pay the admission fee once and then get a membership because they find out what the museum is about.
Absolutely.
And they want their kids exposed to that area. And it's a lot of fun and it gives a parent or, you know, a daycare the person an activity to do with the kids.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of people are coming there for something, you know, in the middle of the day. As supplementary education, I mean, you can kind of think of it as, well, it's a giant playground. I can bring my kid there to play. But, you know, as you had mentioned earlier, it's not just the kids necessarily that can learn from that. It's also the adults. You know, we try and foster an environment where it's kind of a dual education where, you know, the parents come in and not so much leave their kids to just kind of explore on their own, which, I mean, that is, there is a lot of benefit and validity to that, like just letting kids, you know, explore on their own and learn and understand for themselves. But, you know, a lot of these interactives are to help a parent kind of engage their child and show their child their way through this and kind of make it a dual learning experience where, you know, not only is the child learning some of those fundamental skills, but, you know, as a parent, being able to engage your child in a different way and like learn more about your child and kind of develop yourself as a parent and then as a caregiver in general, because, you know, as your kids grow older, you're going to have other kids in your lives. And then when they have their when you have grandkids, hopefully in the inevitable future, you know, just, you know, better understanding, I guess, people as a whole. And I just think that that's just good for everyone all together, like understanding everybody where they are at and kind of using the museum as a way to kind of expand your thinking about, you know, how you do things.
Right. You're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM, Skidmore Radio, and this is Talk Saratoga. Our phone number in the studio, if you'd like to give a call, is 518-580-5783. That's 580-5783. One of the things that that we know is that parents are the primary teachers of their children.
Right.
And caregivers are the second. I mean, I know when we had when our daughters were small, my wife and I both worked, and we had a lady that used to, that took care of kids, mm-hmm. and she did phenomenal with them. And the Children's Museum wasn't there then, but the kids learned a lot from her because she kept them engaged, not just at home watching TV and that. Mm-hmm. And I think with the programs that the museum offers, it's just a phenomenal thing. And I hope with the new setting in that, it's going to be more kids will be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as you're kind of mentioning secondary caregivers, they are very important. You know, parents are the first teachers, but those secondary caregivers, they are the second teachers. And, you know, they're going to approach things slightly differently than your parents are, which is going to give you, you know, just different insights into different things. And, you know, there are a lot of caregivers that come into the museum to engage those children. And I worked as a preschool teacher for a while before I joined the museum. And there were actually like not a bulk of them, but there were some parents who they had the capability of staying at home and watching their children, but they would still bring their children to the preschool program because they understand the value of A, interacting with other children, which the museum facilitates, but also the ability to experience other adults and what their kind of thought processes and how they kind of go through things. So you just get a different perspective on that. And then the museum provides kind of one step further in that as the adult, you also get to come in and engage other children and other adults. And so you can learn from other adults, like you might be facing some kind of, an issue and you're not sure how to resolve it. And maybe you've gone to Google, but it doesn't make sense. But then you might go and you might just be having a casual conversation with one of the parents as your children play. And then it just comes up and then you kind of come up with a solution because you're able to kind of engage somebody who's just going to think about it a little bit differently than you. And maybe they have a solution or at least part of a solution that you can kind of work from. And so it's a valuable resource in that regard, is that you can just kind of engage the people that are there and, you know, not necessarily with the intent to get anything from it, but that you can get something from that, just those interactions.
Well, you know, it's human nature for children to resist their parents a little bit,
Of course, testing those boundaries.
Right. And it's easier sometimes for kids to, when you have a good person, caregiver or a preschool teacher, exposing them to different things to make them feel, that they feel like a little bit better, because a little more interested, because it's not mom or it's not dad. But I you were talking about the socialization part, and I think that's one thing that damaged a lot of people during COVID was we're socializing beasts.
Right.
And we need socialization. Most of us do. I mean, you know, my wife is a homebody and she finds many things to do at home, but she does,
I think even the most introverted person, the person who likes that time to themselves, even they are social to an extent. I mean, I'm relatively introverted at times. It kind of goes back and forth. But, you know, at some point, long enough isolation, it just kind of drives you crazy. You want to talk to anybody. It doesn't matter. The cashier, you want to have a deep conversation with them because you just need to talk to someone.
Exactly. And during COVID, we couldn't do that. And kids especially. And I felt really bad for kids graduating from high school that year because they couldn't enjoy the normal things that we did when we were a senior in high school and all the things.
Yeah, just those like the high school celebrations that everybody has.
And they missed out on that, and it'll never happen again in their life. So we have to make the most of what we have when we have it.
Yeah.
And the museum, I think, is a great way to interact, for kids to interact with each other and learn and have fun at the same time.
Absolutely. When I first started working with kids down in Georgia, one of the first things that was said to me is like, you have rock star status. And basically he's like, you know, when you walk in that room, you are like a rock star, like a celebrity to these children. They, like you said, it's not mom, it's not dad. And even, you know, as a teacher, when the kids first get there, you kind of have that status, but over time you become more or less viewed the same way, you know, it's familiarity. But you have that person come in. I mean, you know, I had the luxury, I ended up spending time with one of the teachers that I went into her classroom with, and I got to kind of understand the impact that I had. She told me that, like, she taught the kids all these different things about this particular topic, but she said the things that they remembered were the things that I covered when I was there. And I was only there for a total of an hour, and so probably a 45-minute program after, you know, kind of set up and, you know, going through the transitional phases. But like, that's the impact that 45 minutes of an outside educator can have on students versus, and not to diminish what teachers do. Obviously they have a very hard job and yes. And you know, laying the groundwork for us to come in the first place to be able to do that. Like, credit to all teachers. But like, that's what the museum programs can do for kids.
Well, like you said, there's always a spark and it could be a teacher. It could be a teacher's aide. It could be project that the child is involved in, a spark that will make them interested in learning and growing. And the museum certainly offers so many opportunities in different areas for children to, you know, wrap their minds around and have fun while they're doing it. That's a key for the kids. They have to have fun. I think I put too many have to's in there. But they have to have fun while they're doing projects, learning, because that makes it easier for them to enjoy doing it.
Well, I think it fundamentally changes, like, how their brain not just engages it, but, like, holds on to it. You know, when you're this is kind of an anecdote, but I remember I was, for the museum, I was doing a gardening program. And I had to, because of the nature of how everything was, I had to basically keep the plants upstairs. So everything, I had to bring them up and down every single time. And I remember thinking to myself, like, if somebody was making me do this, I don't think I would want to do this. But because it's me, I'm self-driving this. I'm dedicated to this kind of a thing. And I think, you know, giving kids agency over their learning is really key. Like, when they take ownership of their learning versus you, like, you have to learn this thing. It's like, well, I don't want to learn this thing. You want to make me learn this thing. But, like, giving them the opportunity to explore and kind of take it in on their own, engage it in their own way, that gives them the agency. And I think just generally that's what people are looking for, even, you know, into adulthood. You're just looking for the ability to kind of have some kind of say over what you want to do. And for kids, that's fundamental. I mean, like you mentioned, having that kind of pushback on their parents, testing those boundaries, that's a big part of it, is like learning, who am I? What do I care about? What do I want to do? And although a child can't necessarily articulate it like that is the foundation of that. As you grow older and you start to understand what it means and you can kind of move it into that, just giving kids that ability to find out what do I like and how do I get this? And, you know, I was talking with one of my coworkers about, I would still work at the museum. Like, if I was in a position where I had my food, my shelter and all that kind of stuff taken care of, I would still work for the museum because I love what I do and the impact that it has on children. And I think, you know, giving kids that kind of a sense of themselves in moving forward into a career, you know, it makes your life overall just better because you're driving yourself forward rather than being pushed from behind.
Most definitely. Let's talk a little bit about the wonders of the Children's Museum. We have interactive and different sorts of programs that the kids can get into. Mm-hmm. One of the things that struck me, and I think every young boy, every little boy loves fire trucks and police cars. Those seem to be the toys that they, you know, they love trucks and that. We've got a fire truck treehouse. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, just generally kids love that fire truck. That is, you know, that's one of the iconic things for the Children's Museum. So we do have a very impressive setup. So again, we want to salvage as much that we could from the old museum, but we also had to take into account, as I mentioned, accessibility, and our old fire truck. We did build a ramp up to it, in order to have it more accessible. But this one that we have, and a lot of our other, exhibits in that nature, like, for instance, there's a bus, they're on ground level. So there's no up and down. You can just kind of move your way in, and that just grants that level of accessibility. But the fire truck is a lot more elaborate than it was before. So you have the truck itself, but then it has two walls of kind of a firehouse building. There's some little stairs that go up. It's all brick. It's faux brick. It looks amazing. Absolutely incredible. The people over at Empire who did all the fabrication, just phenomenal job at all these exhibits. Most of them aren't even fully put together, and they're looking incredible. I can't wait to see them. The grocery store, the shelves are like, I don't know if they are real wood or not, but they look like real wood, and they just have that warmth to them. But the fire truck, it also has, I haven't seen it in action yet because it's still being put up, but they're putting up a house, but behind that are screens. And what I'm assuming is that those are going to be like, you know, they're going to have like a fire in the house that you can put out. I'm not sure exactly how that interactive functions, but that's what it looks like it's going to be. So it's it's still going to have the same features as our old fire truck had, but then just that much more added into it.
Sure. And you know, in today's technical world, it will be lifelike and kind of exciting for kids to do.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's all technology, but like some of it just seems like magic.
Sure. Well, how many times before you open it are you going to test it out?
I mean, we're all going to test it out at least once for sure. I think there's some staff members that are going to test it out multiple times.
Exactly. That's what I was figuring. Every week, you offer programs free with admission.
Right.
Okay. What are some of the programs that we have?
So I can think of some of the programs that we had originally off the top of my head, but we are actually expanding our program offering. So previously we were offering two, maybe three programs per week. We're moving into a model where we're offering four programs a day.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
And this is just to, you know, have more engaging stuff on a day-to-day basis, but also, you know, if you have a program at a certain time during the day, if you can't come during that time of day, maybe this day or ever, or maybe you can't come on that day at all, there's a lot of people that are going to miss out on those programs. So we wanted to make sure that we had the capability of offering those programs no matter when you have the time to come to the museum, whether it be morning or afternoon or what day of the week is available to you. We wanted to have those programs available. So that has expanded what we're offering. Some of them are going to be staples. So every week you're going to get the same program at roughly the same time. We might switch it around, but that way you have those foundational ones. And then we're going to have ones intermixed that are going to change from week to week, and are going to be, some of them are going to be driven by the particular educators. So, you know, the educator will come up with something that like is near and dear to them. Like I would focus on science, but we have a lot of people on staff who are into history and archaeology and that kind of stuff. And that just expands what we're offering. I tried my best to offer things that are history related or art related, but I'm always going to dive into science because that's where I'm comfortable. But now with more staff members offering more, having more offerings per week, it's just going to be great. But, you know, we have story time, which is a staple. That's been, I think that's the longest running program at the museum. Tuesday for Tots is also another one. I'm not sure if they're keeping the same names, but they'll have something along those lines. So you kind of keep you familiar. But story time is our literacy program. So we read a book and then, you know, there is an activity themed around that book. And currently that's offered at 10:30 in the morning on Tuesdays. And we have one more week before we reopen. So if you are in the area and you're interested, 10:30 Tuesday morning, you can come down. We have one more. And if you come to one of our programs that we're offering, and it's all free right now. So it's not even free with admission because there is no admission. So you can just come to our programs, membership or not. And if you're looking to become a member, it's a great time to sign up because there's a discount, a 5% on the Me and You and a 10% on the Bring the Family and the Traveler's Pass. So you can get a discounted membership. And, you know, if you come 2-3 times, and especially 4 times, like you're paying for your membership by that point.
You know, I wanted to just talk to you about story time just for a little bit. How many children do you usually get at that? That's a daily program or is it once a week?
So right now that's just on Tuesdays.
Okay. So how many kids do you get usually at story time?
So that program is specifically weather dependent just because we are outside. We don't have we have some trees to cover. So if it's just sprinkling out, we can kind of hide under the trees. But if it's raining, because of the nature of it, like having a book, we don't want the books to get ruined.
Sure.
And then a lot of the activities involve paper or things that are water sensitive. Sometimes we don't have any kids, and then, sometimes we'll have like multiple families come at once. It's kind of a mixed bag at this point.
Five, 10 kids.
I would say like two kids is probably like the average.
All right. I'm in Kiwanis.
Mm-hmm.
We have, the Reading is Fundamental program in schools. It's one of our members volunteers to go into a school, lower class, and read a book. And what we do is we give each child the book to read along with the teacher, and then they get to keep the book.
Oh.
And I was just I mean, this is out of, I'm pulling this out of my head. I just maybe would approach my club to have, to see if the lady that does that reading program could come in and read a book with the kids.
That would be amazing.
And then we would give the child, you know, the children their the book that was read to them. We may not be able to do it every week,
but right,
maybe like once a month or whatever her
right
schedule could be, because we do have quite a few retired people in our club. And, you know, we buy the books, and then she'll go in to read to a kindergarten class, let's say, and then the kids get to keep the book that they're, that was read to them. So it kind of helps them get into reading and look forward to maybe once a month having, you know, some.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be absolutely great.
I'll check in on that for you, because it's our club, Kiwanis, is a nonprofit group like Rotary and Lions, and we're all service clubs, but our focus is on children. And so that might be something neat that we could do and help out some kids, and maybe volunteer at the Children's Museum.
We'd be more than happy to have you. Absolutely.
I'll check that out.
Thank you.
Our next meeting. All right.
Yeah.
So we'll get into the other programs, but one of the things that you had mentioned was Big Truck Day.
Oh, Big Truck Day, yes.
Coming up in August, August the 6th.
Yes. So actually, I mean, there's a lot on the horizon. We have the grand opening week coming up. That starts July 5th, and it goes all the way through to July 12th. You know, every day has kind of a theme. They're all time tickets, so you can go to www.cmssny.org to find those tickets. So the first day is going to be member exclusive, and then after that, so the first morning, not the first day. So we wanted to make sure that the public understood that it's just a morning. It's going to be members only, just to kind of give them a little perk for membership. And, you know, if you're not a member now, you can become a member and you can have that perk all to yourself. And then, you know, from the afternoon, we'll be open to the public, and we have a lot of stuff going on during the transition time, and then ultimately culminating on the 12th. And we can talk more about that afterwards. But Big Truck Day, yeah, it's coming up August 6th. It's the biggest event that we do every year. You know, I started in March. March is when I start reaching out and start preparing for all of this. It's been a little intense having, you know, all this stuff kind of coming. I know that they're a month apart, but going events take a long time to plan. It's all ahead of time. And so I'm kind of working on these together. Luckily, I have Barbara Owens and Sarah Smith and the rest of the staff as well. Everybody's, you know, it's all hands on deck for this, for sure. And everybody's great. You know, but especially those directly related with like development in the events kind of thing, supporting me as I like, that's my main focus is marketing and events. I'm crossing my, I know it's going to be an incredible event. You know, I'm trying to blow it out of the water. I want to have so many people there that we have to change venues. Not that, I mean, the venue has been great. You know, the Maple Avenue Middle School, they're fantastic. They're absolutely wonderful. And the grounds are great. Last year, you know, I think we had people coming around the opposite side of the building because they were parking so far away. It just made more sense to, instead of coming the way everybody else was, to come around the back end. And, you know, I just, like for me, I just want to grow the event because, you know, a lot of positive response. I didn't hear anything negative at all from anything. You know, for my first event, I was very kind of nervous about how things would go. You know, I learned a lot from it for sure. And I just want to make it that much better this coming year. And, you know, it's only $5 to come for anybody. And we'll eventually have tickets on sale. But, you know, we're looking to have, you know, even more great trucks. And there, we're trying to get some more vendors, to come on. So, you know, if you happen to be, you know, an area, business who wants to support the museum, and then maybe, you know, set up a table at Big Truck Day to kind of, you know, let people know what you're up to and where you're at. We'd be more than happy to hear from you. You can email me at BLAPOINT@CMSSNY.org, or you can go to info@CMSSNY.org if you can't remember my name, and just let us know that you're interested in helping support the museum. And even if this isn't particularly the way you would like to support the museum, we're always looking for people who want to help out in whatever way that they think. If you're interested in supporting programs specifically, give us a call and let us know that's what you want, and we'll work with you to
Definitely.
To do that, yeah.
One of the things about, you know, the simplest way to get a hold of the Children's Museum is to type in Google search Children's Museum of Saratoga, and it'll bring it to the webpage, cmssny.org. The website is phenomenal. It has all the contact information. And, you know, I mean, when an organization has a great website and you can't remember the URL, just do a search with their name and it'll take you, and you can go right from there to their website, because in an organization like the Children's Museum, you have so much to offer that you really have to go to the website. It's phenomenal. I have to tell you, it is a phenomenal.
And we're ready to come out with another good one. iMedia and Consulting, they are kind of our host, and they help us with the website. And in the background, I've been working with them on kind of a revamp. We think that they're, I thank you very much for saying that about the website. You know, but we're always trying to make little tweaks just to kind of, you know, to help with user access. So we know that one of the things, a lot of people, they want specific information. When are you open? Are you open today? What times are you open? That kind of a thing. So we're kind of trying to put that front and center. You know, as you were alluding to, like, the museum is more than the museum. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're out into the public. Like, a lot of people don't realize that we go to schools and do outreach throughout the school year. You know, that's, you might have an instance where a kid comes home, with a paper to go on a field trip to a place, and that might actually be the Children's Museum. But a lot of schools also, they have those places come in, and you don't need to sign a form for that. So you might not realize that that is going on. But we're going into those classes. We're teaching our programs, you know, providing that, for our students. And it's not just in schools. As I mentioned, we go to malls, we go to community centers, like other places to show our programs off or to do a program. So, you know, if you're a teacher looking for a program, for your class, coming up next year, or, you know, if you're, you know, an event coordinator, or, you know, just somebody who has a facility where you think that the Children's Museum setting up a table to do like a program or, you know, a little thing for, you know, an hour or two, you know, give us a ring. Again, info@cmssny.org or education@cmssny.org. Either one of those will get you to the right person, and, you know, let us know.
Well, what I like about websites, is easy to get around. I hate to search for things, because when I go to a website, I'm looking for something specific or information. And when you get to your front page, everything's there. I mean, you can go here, you can go there. You don't have to look through certain layers of pages to find things. And it is very well done. I do have to say that. not to tell you, you operate such a great organization, but have you ever thought about doing a presentation, let's say, to the senior center? You know, seniors have time and they have grandkids. That might spark either a volunteer program you could use for them. I know our Key Club, we sponsor Key Clubs, our Kiwanis Club does in high schools, and they volunteer in a lot of different places because they have to put in so much service time today.
Right.
Kids do. But one of the groups that they like the most are the seniors, because they really enjoy them and they interact with them really neat. It's great to see young kids interact with older adults. And, you know, you may want to go in there and put a presentation on, talk to Celeste, who's the director. Just an idea.
I think that's a good idea. At places I worked at previously, I have done that. Can't remember. I think it was Connecticut. We had animals. So we actually brought animals to, I personally went to two senior centers, but I know that other people did. And, you know, the programs have an impact on them as well. You know, like you're saying, like, you know, having the kids come in too would be great. But I mean, you know, the seniors do benefit from those programs. I mean, in that particular instance, it's, you know, showing and kind of, giving them a chance to hold the animals. But yeah, I definitely think that that's something that we could explore. So I'll bring that back.
And you're never too old to learn new things either.
No,
and
absolutely.
You may want to go and pick up something that you can, use with your grandchildren or your children, and then you bring them there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There's so many things. I know
there's so many ideas in the back that we would love to do.
Educational programs and bookings. Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the events that you have to, do parents or caregivers have to book to go to them because of size? Mm-hmm.
So our public programs are basically like, are kind of first come, first serve. Right now, we seldom have our programs kind of explode to the point where we can't handle that. We always prepare for way more than we think will come. So, you know, we're ready. Every now and again, we reach that maximum capacity and, you know, maybe 20 to 25 kids plus their parents, but right now, that's the model we're still working with is, you know, first come, first serve. And we're just going to try to accommodate as many people as possible. I think one time I had so many people for a program that I did end up breaking it into two sessions. I just kind of had to announce on the fly, like, hey, I'm going to do this a second time around, come back at about this time. And, I did have some people come back. So I just ran two sessions. There are opportunities if you want something more specific. There are field trips available. Most of the time we get schools to book that, and there probably are other groups that aren't necessarily schools specifically. But, you know, as a family group, you might think that that's something to do. I mean, birthday parties is kind of an obvious one. That's something that everybody thinks about, like, oh, I'll go to the Children's Museum for a birthday party. But you could have theoretically any kind of an event at the Children's Museum. I don't want to put that staff out on a limb by saying that's definitely something that you could do, but obviously give us a call, you know, email us if that's something you'd be interested in, because whatever ways that we can help the community, we're looking for different ideas, different ways to do that. And anything that just makes sense, like a birthday party that's not a birthday party, that's pretty easy transition.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And again, go to the website. The phone number is 518-584-5540.
Yep.
584-5540. And, you know, they're very, very, very helpful to answer any questions that you have. And it's a great place, great staff. And as I said in the beginning, it's a jewel of Saratoga Springs. It really is. And the area.
I mean,
we're lucky to have it here.
Yep.
And but it is for the entire Capital District area.
Absolutely. We are officially the Children's Museum at Saratoga, but it's and we the name is specifically like that. It's not the Saratoga Children's Museum, because we want people to realize that we're just at Saratoga. We're not exclusive to Saratoga. You know, we are the Children's Museum of the Capital Region of Troy, of Albany. You know, unfortunately, there aren't that many Children's Museums in this general area. And so we want to make sure that we're available to everybody who, like, is within our proximity. And now our proximity extends down to Troy and into the Albany area. And making sure that we're getting out there for those people.
And up north. You know,
yes, absolutely.
Have,
yeah.
Glens Falls and South Glens Falls and Queensbury. I mean, it doesn't take long to get from Albany or Queensbury to Saratoga. And
right.
You probably got a half hour, 20 minute ride. And, you know, so it's not like you said, it's not just for Saratoga Springs.
Right.
It's for the outlying area.
And then there's the park, there's downtown Saratoga. It's a whole day's worth of stuff to do in Saratoga. Saratoga is an amazing place. So, you know, come for the Children's Museum and stay for the rest.
Exactly. We have 10 minutes to go.
I know it. Yeah. I just looked at it. I was like, oh.
That's why you have to be on more often, because I've got like five pages. We have five pages of stuff to talk about. But
yep.
I want to get to some main things before we go. And darn it, you've got to be on again after the museum opens in the fall when we're back in, because I don't do the show in the summer.
Okay.
I work at the track. And so in September, when I start back up again, mm-hmm. I'd like to have you in to see how the opening went and what's going on, you know, at that point. But the Children's Museum opens on July the 5th.
July 5th,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. And the admission is $10 for all ages, under 12 months free.
Yep.
And there are a multitude of membership levels for everything. I mean, you even have military discounts. And there's a multitude, so you'd have to call the museum to find the one that fits you. And there is a membership that will fit you, no matter how much you can spend or, you know, the amount of money. It's fantastic. And on the 12th of July is you're having your open house. Is that?
Yeah. So that is the grand opening celebration event. So that's kind of like the culmination of that. So we've got a whole week's worth of kind of activities planned and ready to go. So on the 5th, we're going to have, it's just opening day. And so we just want to give people kind of that space to come in and explore. But as I mentioned before, you know, that morning session is going to be members only, and it's time tickets. So we're going to be open from 9 to noon. Then we're going to close down from noon until 1 o'clock. And this is so that we can clean the museum, you know, just kind of, tidy it back up. You know, even though COVID has kind of subsided, you know, it's still prevalent and not everybody is vaccinated. So we want to take care of that.
Sure.
And then the afternoon session is from 1 until 4, but during that hour transition time, we have things set up. So that first day we're going to have a face painter and we're going to have some ice cream. So those will be available preceding, that transition. So before 12 o'clock and then up until 1 o'clock, we'll have those. Day two, we're going to have another ice cream truck come in. That's going to actually be ice cream day. So we're going to talk about the science of ice cream and have Mr. Dingling there. Let's see, what's the next day is we're going to have Upset there the following day. So Upset, the miniature horse of Saratoga, will be there. And so horses are going to be the theme of that day. The following day is Wet and Wild Day. I'm not sure exactly what's happening. We're having some water games coming in, and I think it's going to be wild. I think it's going to be more than even I understand. After that, Llama Day, Pajama Day, Pajamas and Llamas Day. So come in your pajamas, and there will be llamas there, and I believe the llamas will have pajamas on as well. It's going to be great, and we're going to read that book. And
you know what? I don't know if you're going to be found on those during those times. I think you're going to be immersed in the activities themselves, because you're so darn excited about
it. Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. It really is.
And then I can't fail to mention that on the 11th, we're going to have the Science of Baseball. We're actually going to have the Tri-City Valley Cats there, and we're going to have Southpaw. So, yeah, we're going to come some fun facts, some drills. There's some giveaways going on there. That's going to be from 11 to 1. A lot of these things are from 11 or 11:30 to 1 or 1:30. That's the time frame. Just like as I mentioned, we wanted to have something during that transitional period while we're cleaning the museum. So we'll have staff out there doing like museum activities, but also, you know, other entities on. And then culminating on the 12th, we have the grand celebration event. Tickets are $75 and $150 for honorary committee tickets. This is kind of the fundraising portion of the celebration. We didn't really have a chance to have our gala fully, so this is our gala this year. So, you know, if you're interested in supporting the museum, this is a really great way to do it. It's going to be a great evening. We have Jeff Brisbane, who's going to come as a musician. I'm trying to think of the things off the top of my head. I should have been a little better prepared for that. But you can go to the website, www.cmssny.org. All of the stuff is there. That particular event is front and center. So just find the link, click on it, and you can learn more about that. And again, that's just a really great way to support the museum, show that you care, and help us out. Because we rely on that support. You know, as being called a museum, a lot of people think that we are federally funded, and we are not. We apply for federal grants, but that's very competitive, and we do not always get the money that we're hoping for. And so we greatly rely on individual support. You know, the businesses in the area who support us, like, we could not do this without us. And the more support we get, the better our programs are, the more programs we can do, the more that we can offer, you know, especially to, as I mentioned, those economically disadvantaged individuals who might not be able to come to us or might not be able to, you know, afford those certain things. And again, those individuals, they benefit greatly from the extra academics that we can bring to them. And again, maybe spark that future career.
Sure. I always like to say too, websites are great. You may not always be able to remember the URL, mm-hmm. especially when we're talking. But do a Google search on the Children's Museum of Saratoga, and their information will pop up. And go to their website, because, like we talked before, one thing I wanted to talk to you before we go, and we have a few minutes left. Field trips.
Hmm.
They always interested me. When I was a kid involved in any organization or that, what are some of the field trips that you have?
So I've been being very busy with this and a lot of the changes. I don't know off the top of my head, but those are also all on the website. We're actually pretty booked up on our field trips so far. We've so many phone calls have been coming in over the last few months. You know, I actually asked before I came here, I'm like, what does education want me to plug? And they're like, well, we're pretty much booked for summer. I mean, if you're interested in a summer program, give us a call. We might have the space available, but we are still booking for fall and into winter. So if you're interested in a program or a field trip, you know, head into the website www.cmssny.org to find out more. But, you know, science, history, art, all sorts of different topics, and we're very accommodating. So if you don't necessarily see what you're looking for, just give us a call, 518-584-5540. You can talk to Jess or Don. They're amazing education staff, and they can work with you, and maybe we can get you in there.
Okay. Ben, again, it's always great having you on.
It's been great being on.
Always learn a lot about the Children's Museum when you're here. Ben LaPointe, digital media coordinator and an all-around guy at the Children's Museum. Again, he gave the phone number, but it's 518-584-5540. And the website is cmssny.org. And thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Rick, for having me.
And you have an open invitation for the fall.
All right, and I will be there.
And you've been listening to Talk Saratoga. This is Skidmore Radio, 91.1 FM, and streaming 24 hours a day. I want to turn it over now to Homer Charbonneau, who's got the best 3 hours of music on radio. And you're getting popular, Homer. I'm hearing more and more people talking about the show and how much they love the music. So keep doing the good work that you do.
Well, that's great.